Listen up, this bit's important.
Hey, I'm Lynn and this is my podcast, Let's Mummy Talk, a wellness podcast about everything that matters, from parenthood, lifestyle, love and relationships, as well as culture and health, both physical and mental. And above all else, it's about happiness. This is my happy place and I hope it becomes yours too. Oh, grrr.
Let Mummy Talk, episode 28.
I'm doing so good. Hello and welcome to episode 28 of the podcast, Let Mummy Talk. And if you're wondering why I kicked off the episode with that big tune from Destiny's Child, so good. Quick question, what year do you think that came out, by the way? I'll give you 3 seconds. 3, 2, 1. It was 1999. If you got that right, you're a G. Okay. Just imagine that song's 23 years old. Like, what? That makes me feel so old. Like, girl, child. 23 years old next year that song will be. That's a mazza. Anyway, So I sang the song as a reminder to myself that I'm doing good, you know, because sometimes I get so bogged down in what's not quite right, what I haven't quite achieved or got yet and bloody, bloody, blah. That I don't acknowledge, like, I'm doing good, you know, in spite of everything, the blessings are pouring in still, my health is in a good place, I'm doing good. And I have to acknowledge that, and I hope you're doing good as well. I bet you are. I bet you're doing better than you realise. So like I said, hello and welcome to the new listeners. And if you are a first-time listener, this podcast is all about parenthood, it's about wellness, it's about good, positive vibes and keeping your mental health in a good place. You done know? You done know. If you're returning, thank you again, as I always say, for choosing to come back and listen to me in your ears for a good few minutes. I appreciate you, man. I really do.
How are you feeling today, Mummy?
So I'm feeling good, as I said, and life has been cool, man. I can't even complain. It's been a funny 2 weeks since I last caught up with you. Been busy. A lot happening between gym, French lessons, gym classes, going to see frozen ice sculptures in London's Covent Garden and my uncle's funeral. So my uncle passed away in March of this year, 2021, and we've just now only been able to lay him to rest. If we do the maths, that is literally 8 months of none of us being able to say goodbye properly and lay him to rest. And that's just awful. It's complex as to why that had to be the case, complex and heartbreaking. But what I will say is we finally got to say goodbye to my Uncle George, and it was the most beautiful, the most incredible send-off for him. And I think it's real, I said this to my sister on the day, it's a real testament to one's character. When you listen to the words that not just one, not just two, but the general consensus of what people are saying in those tributes as they stand at the front of the church, delivering those words, and you hear that it's positive, 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 and always the same kind of things. Good man, made you feel good, checked on you all the time, kind-hearted, made you laugh with his silly jokes and stuff. You have to really, really appreciate the man he was and the life that we've lost. And it's very, very sad because it really made it hit home more. So it was an emotional day, and I gave a tribute alongside my sister and my brother Simeon, and in doing so, I broke down. I couldn't even speak at one point. It was a lot more difficult than I imagined because I'm not afraid of public speaking. I really don't mind it too much. I quite like it, in fact. But when you consider a tribute is not just public speaking, it's public speaking with a load of emotions at the same time and remembering that you're acknowledging someone who you miss, someone who's gone now. It gives a whole different meaning to public speaking, and it's 50 times more difficult. But I did it, and I had to do it. I had to do it because for me, there was no option to not speak. You know, for those who were tuned in, the family we have in Jamaica and around the world, and those in London who knew and loved my uncle, I needed to let them know, like, what a great guy he was, for those who didn't know him as well. Like, just, it had to be done. So as hard as it was, I am so grateful I got the chance to speak and to tell people how incredible he was. And we got the chance to lay him to rest. And for anyone who has experienced loss recently, or maybe not even recently, but still feel very much affected by the loss, I want to share something, and I hope it brings you comfort, because there's always this idea that when someone passes away, you kind of don't know what to say, so you say the usual condolences and I'm so sorry for your loss, and that's fine. But a lot of people struggle with the words of what to say to someone who has lost someone. And I read an article a while ago and I just felt like it was really beautiful the way it was written. And what it basically said was something along the lines of this: when someone goes, we lose them physically, we lose their body, obviously we'll never get to see them again, and that hurts so deeply. But what we've got to always remember is that person's spirit never, ever dies. And not just their spirit, but our memories of that person, the impact they had on our lives, the lessons and blessings they left us with, they never die, because they live on in our hearts and in our heads, right? That's facts. So this article went on to say the best way to honour and to remember someone that you're struggling to accept that they've gone is to continue to keep them alive, whether that be through celebrating their birthday each year, putting on songs that you know they loved and dancing to it, doing whatever it is you guys like to do together, or whether it is something as simple as trying to live your life more like them in some respect. And that for me was the takeaway, that part right there, trying to live your life in some way like they live theirs, the part of the person that you admired the most, the part you want to live on.
Ooh, that's a word.
So for me, what I'll take from my Uncle George is the fact that he was a kind man and he was heavily devoted to the concept of family and bringing everyone together and making sure everyone was okay. And I can be more like that in my life. I'm not enough like that. I admit it. I'm not. I can be very antisocial, but I want to be more like that. So I'm going to try. So that's me. And I hope you guys are doing good. Christmas is around the corner. I mean, I don't want to scare you, but Christmas is literally around the corner. We have got like pretty much 1 month left until Christmas. Have you started your Christmas shopping? Because I have not. I've got two presents, one for my niece and one for my son, but I've still got a lot more I need to get. And time is a ticking, man. I don't know what I'm waiting for. I don't know. I think I get overwhelmed and I just do nothing, but I'm going to get my bum in gear because last minute shopping is not for me, especially with COVID and especially with the terror threat in this country being so high right now. I'm not trying to be in the shops during the busy times. So yeah, going to try and get my act together right now. But if you are looking forward to the celebration, I too am with you. I'm looking forward to it a lot. And if you don't celebrate Christmas, perhaps for you, it's about spending quality time with loved ones. And for me, that is just as much of a blessing.
What are you loving, Mummy?
So yesterday, hubby and I went to IKEA to collect something. And anyway, so hubby stopped and wanted to get these cinnamon, I don't know what to call them, cinnamon rolls, these little mini cinnamon rolls from IKEA's shop. And I'm like, are you going to eat them? Because he has this habit of buying things and just letting it go to waste, not eating them basically. So I'm like, are you gonna eat it, babe? And he's like, no, I had it when I was in Sweden, I think they're good, blah blah blah. Anyway, fast forward now, so the cinnamon roll thing has come home. I'm like, let me try one. You know when you put something in your mouth and straight away you're just like, oh my gosh, wow. It's a wow for me, like it's like heaven on my tongue. I'm quite addicted. They're a little bit like Pringles. Once you pop, you can't stop, and it's very easy to consume the whole packet, so you have to be very, very careful. So as much as I'm telling you they're good, I'm also a little bit like, oh, just know they're dangerous and your waistline could expand.
That's a no. Were they watching on Growing Up TV?
All right, so on TV, I've not really watched too much recently, but one thing I will tell you about is Colin Kaepernick's new series on Netflix. It's a limited series, and it's called Colin Kaepernick in Black and White. Now, essentially what it's about is Colin Kaepernick, the former NFL turned activist, recounting his formative years navigating race, culture, and I guess class, on his uprising to becoming an NFL star. So for those who are not familiar with Colin Kaepernick, I mean, have you been living under a rock? But yes, former NFL player who was kicked out of the NFL, essentially. He basically refused to stand for the song. He took the knee instead. And in doing so, it was a form of political protest during a game, and it wasn't appreciated or tolerated by the NFL or the whole sports community, or let me be straight, any of America. Even Donald Trump spoke on it. Yeah, but my man protested, okay? He did it peacefully. He did it quietly. He did it classfully. Is that a word? No. He did it in a classy way, is what I'll say. But apparently there's no way we can protest as black people. You know, it's quiet, it's disrespectful, it's loud, we're thugs, you know, we just can't protest apparently. But yeah, anyway, going back to the show. So Colin Kaepernick in Black and White, it's a limited series on Netflix and it's about race, class and culture. Basically all of the things that he struggled with whilst aspiring to become a great NFL player, which he did become. And he learned the hard way. The show kind of highlights the fact he learned the hard way that talent is not enough. It's not enough to allow him to succeed. So within that, I think it's interesting because Colin Kaepernick was raised by two white parents. He's a mixed race man, but he's raised by two white parents. And within the show, it goes back to his former years when he was like a teenager and training and all this stuff, doing his sports. And the struggles that he encountered growing up with two white parents who had, I'm going to say not even little, I'm going to say zero understanding of black culture and of raising a mixed race boy. And within that, there are times when he's, you know, suffered racism. And to me, it's pretty overt racism. But the parents fail to see it because they have the privilege of not having to be subject to it. So for that reason, when he points it out, they're like, oh, no, don't be so silly. So, yeah, it's interesting. And for my husband and I, it became quite an interesting discussion topic because we've had many conversations about these kind of things before. You know, me marrying into a white family and some of the things I've said before with regards to be it the different culture or the way in which food is cooked or prepared and, you know, seasoning or no seasoning, washing meat, not washing meat, all these kinds of things, you know, the comments made about Afro hair, all of that. So I'm like, you see what I mean now? Now you're watching it, you see what I mean, right? You can hear, you can see from his own experience how these things are just not cool. So I'd say yes, it's definitely worth a watch. Once again, Colin Kaepernick in Black and White on Netflix.
This is Callie. You're listening to my mummy's podcast. Let mummy talk. Isn't it great?
So recently, in addition to everything I said before, I also went ice skating. Like, hello, I'm on the skates. I'm gliding through the ice. And it was really good. Honestly, ice skating is not that affordable. In my opinion, it's not. For the four of us to go, my husband, myself, and our two little children, it costs £60. And that's for 1 hour, which technically was 45 minutes because they make you get off the ice 15 minutes before your session's over, by the way. But yeah, so 45 minutes for £60 is not that affordable. But if you're doing it once in a while, it is worth it because it's so good and so much fun. So we went to Greenwich Maritime Museum, I believe it's called, and they have like a pop-up ice skating rink there for the Christmas festive period. And it's lovely. They're playing Christmassy songs, like, all I want for Christmas, and all the rest of it. And it was just good vibes. And I recommend you go, basically. Have some fun. Feel like you're 10 years old again, because I did. Okay, and now we come on to the topic. And today it's a juicy one, as I say every episode, because they are always juicy, of course. Whether it's because of lockdown, because of COVID, the panoramic, aka pandemic, I don't know. But in the last 2 years, I find myself comparing myself more and more to people, and it's not good. And I acknowledge it's not good. So I want to have this discussion with you guys to ensure that if you find yourself doing it, for you to acknowledge you're doing it, firstly, and for you to understand the reasons why you're doing it, and for you to stop, because it's not healthy and it's not good, and we all do it. Human nature, we are wired to do it, but it's also very self-destructive, so we've got to be careful. So comparisons. As humans, we are designed to understand ourselves. So we have a capacity for self-reflection. It's a defining characteristic, if you like, of our species. We kind of want to understand ourselves and other people. So in other words, we have a fundamental need to evaluate ourselves, and the only way we can really do it is to compare ourselves to something or someone. Now, what we should compare ourselves to is our former selves, to look at progress, look at how far we've come. But yeah, it's not an ideal world and it's not a textbook. So in reality, very few do this, and instead we choose to compare ourselves to people, those who are near and dear and close to us. Now, as peoples, we generally kind of engage in two types of comparison. Upward comparisons, which are essentially when we compare ourselves to someone we deem to be in a better position than us. And downward comparisons, those obviously the opposite, who we believe to be not doing as well as us, whether it's financially or academically, whatever it might be. But those are the two types of comparisons we make. And we do it for different reasons. Most of us do actually compare ourselves. If you stop and think, and I mean honestly think, do you compare yourself to other people? Whether it's your best friend, your sibling, your partner, your co-worker. Do you compare yourself? It could be how you look. It could be how much money you earn. It could be what car you drive. How well your children are doing. It could also be how well you're doing in your career. There are so many ways we compare ourselves, but the reality of it is pretty much all of us do compare ourselves. In spite of our ages or our accomplishments, we continue to compare ourselves to other people, even though we know it's pointless and it can actually lead to destructive thoughts. So we know we have a need to compare ourselves. We know we tend to compare ourselves to people who are, I guess, similar to us. Like you wouldn't, okay, example. So you wouldn't necessarily compare yourself at work, for example, to the CEO or like a senior manager. Because if that's not the level at which you're at, then it may feel unattainable. It might feel like they're not someone that's a realistic comparison. And you would be more likely to compare yourself to your coworker who perhaps is in the same pay grade as you, on the same level as you in terms of seniority. So that is how we compare ourselves to those we see most like us or within our social groups. We compare our abilities and our opinions to those we deem important, whether that's a social group or a fitness class or something of the same kind of nature. And we know that comparison leads to unpleasant feelings. So why do we do it? Okay, so let's talk facts, right? We need to compare ourselves in order to measure our progress. Facts? Yeah, obviously we do. But by measuring our progress, we often end up inflating ourselves or tearing ourselves down or going in between one and the other like a yo-yo. So often at the expense of the people we're comparing ourselves to. So when you compare yourself to person A, you're going to feel like, oh my gosh, I'm smashing it because I'm doing way better. I've got a bigger house. I've got more money. Look at my shoes. I've got red bottoms. Look at theirs. They've got no bottoms. Do you know what I mean? So that comparison will make you feel good temporarily, by the way. But then you can compare yourself to someone else who's doing way better than you. And that will have you feeling real crappy real fast. Comparison makes us miserable, facts. Let me be honest now, let's get into the realness. Comparisons I make, because I, like I said at the top of this topic, I compare myself too much. Too much. I recognize it and I'm stamping it out and I'm trying to actively do things to stop and prevent myself doing the comparisons because it's not healthy. And then it makes me just, yeah, overthink things as well. So some comparisons I make, body. Which is a strange one, I get it. But like, I've been into the gym recently, although I don't think you'd recognize it because my belly's still not going anywhere because I love food. But yeah, I've been going to gym recently and it's like, as a result of going to gym recently, I find myself looking at more workouts and like fitness people on Instagram. But in doing so, you know, the algorithm now knows that I'm interested in that. So they're showing me more and more people with these like ripped bodies and these like bodacious bums and just these amazing figures. So then I'm looking and I'm like, ah. Her bum's amazing. Oh my gosh, look at her curve. Look at her figure eight. Look at her hip to waist ratio. And I'm sat here thinking, oh, I'm never going to have that. I need to do more. I need to do this. I need to do that. Comparing, trying to measure up my body with this person's body. And often, I'm not being a hater, but often those bodies are not even real. They purchased them from the surgeon. Like, let's be real. And if they didn't, it might just be a case of they have a lot of money or they have a lot of time. So they're able to go to the gym 5 times a week and buy all the protein shakes and hire a personal trainer. Things that I'm not in a position to do right now. I don't have the time for all of that. So, and on top of that, body shapes develop in different ways, right? I will never have that figure eight unless I pay for it. And even then, I probably won't have it because I just don't have that curve. But I'm slim. And I like my body and I have to keep that in sight and stop comparing myself to these other people. Another thing, career stages. Like I'll admit openly all day long, I am happy. I am in a good place in my life. But career wise, I feel like having children put all of that on hold for me and I'm not where I want to be. I'm not at all. So then I'll look at people and I'll see people thriving and doing amazingly. And I'm like, oh my gosh, look at her job. It looks amazing. Look, she meets this person. She does that. She's on telly. She's got a promotion. She's earning this salary. All this stuff. Looking, staring, wishing, dreaming to then make myself feel like absolute poo-poo in the process. Why? Why am I doing that? Even like down to the podcast. You know, I love this podcast with all my heart, which is why I do it. And sometimes I'll look at the stats and I'll look at how many people are listening and I'll feel deflated. I'll be like, ugh. I've got a very loyal base and I thank those who are in that base. They're loyal, they come back, they listen. It's very little though. And I'm like, I just wish more people would listen to the podcast. I wish I could get the word out there because I think it's a great podcast. I'm not biased, of course. But no, I do it to try and help and enthuse and motivate. And I've had some incredible feedback I have on the podcast, which lets me know what I'm doing is useful. It lets me know what I'm doing is helpful and it's entertaining and informative and all the rest of it. And I know this. But when I don't see the numbers reflected with regards to listenership, I get into a thing of like, oh, it's not fair. Look at that podcast. That one's doing well. That one's getting loads of promotion. They've got Spotify behind them or they've got da-da-da behind them. And I start comparing and then feeling inadequate because I'm comparing. Girl, stop. Even something as little as like looking at families like mine, young families who have a house. I don't have a house. I'm stuck in this flat, as I keep saying on every podcast. I'm stuck here because of the building safety crisis that's happened in the UK. And for that reason, I've got my two young children here, myself, my husband, and we don't even have anywhere for them to play outside. We don't even have enough space really for us all to live. But then I counter that. Sometimes I try to counter it to keep balance. I counter it and remind myself that we have this. We have a clean and beautiful, yes, it's too small for us, but a clean and beautiful home with hot water, with central heating, with food in the cupboards and love, most importantly, a blessing many people don't have. When you see the news and you see people fleeing war, fleeing conflict, getting in boats, putting their children in boats to cross over the water, to come in search of a better life, in search of peace, in search of a future. And when I think of those things, it keeps me grounded. I'm like, you know what? I haven't got it. I haven't got what I want yet. But just remember, girl, you're blessed. Just remember that. So after all those comparisons, I end up feeling pretty meh. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I am not where I want to be. I'm not where I plan to be at this age. And da 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 da. And then I say to myself, you know what, girl? Get a grip, okay? Life is good. Life is good. And you need to remember that. You need to remember it. So if you, like me, find yourself comparing a little bit too much what you wish your life would be more like or what you wish you had more of that you don't have, but I don't know, the girl on Instagram has it or the girl on YouTube on her vlog seems to have it, don't. As we all know, no one is showing you everything. It's highlights of someone's life, often the best bits, the edited bits, the pretty bits that they've colour corrected. But in reality, no one has it all. I think it's damn near impossible to have it all. And those who do are the super rich. And even then, they don't, let's be honest, they don't have it all together. So I've taken some steps and I'm continuing to, it's a work in progress. I'm taking some steps to counter these feelings when I start comparing myself too much. And I want to share those steps with you because I feel if you, like me, do compare too much and find yourself feeling a bit rubbish after looking at someone else's life. And when I say compare, let me just clarify, I don't mean it in a negative way. I don't mean you're looking and you're hating and you're thinking, oh, it's not fair. No. There's no, God knows my heart and my heart's never like that. It's not a hating way. There's no hateration around here. It's more in a way of, oh, that's really nice. Look what she's got. Look what she's doing. Oh, I wish one day it would happen for me. And then within doing that, you're making yourself feel rubbish because you don't have those things. So yeah, it's not a negative thing towards the other person, but I guess in a way it's more negative towards myself because then it's like, I don't feel good enough because I don't have those things. So anyway, going back to the tips, let me share some things with you that I'm trying to do and have done to ensure that I don't suffer from the ugly thing that is comparison or too much comparison. So here we go.
Listen up. This bit's important. Number one.
The first step I'm taking to stop the unhealthy comparisons that are tearing me down at times is to use social media less. We all know social media, they've done studies, like countless studies. There's a direct correlation between poor mental health and social media use, okay? People, even down to people committing suicide and feeling very inadequate after scrolling social media for hours on end and seeing people's seemingly perfect lives. So yeah, if you consume social media and you recognize there's a direct impact on your mental health after looking at all of these posts, like cut it out, have a break, do what you need to do. I've muted people, certain people who I just feel just, I don't know, they're just annoying, like the way they sell this dream or boast about their things, I mute them. I don't want to see it. You've got to do things to ensure that you are not harming your own mental health whilst you think you're innocently scrolling. But what's it really doing to you? How's it really making you feel?
Number two.
Okay, the second thing is to focus on realistic body goals. Like I said earlier, like different body shapes will transform in different ways after working out and eating a certain way. So for me to be looking at my girl over here on Instagram thinking, look at her bum, it's amazing, look at her waist, we don't have the same genetics, we don't have the same body type, and I'm never going to be that way. And more importantly, I love my body. I say it all the time. I said it on my episode of Say Yes to the Dress. If you didn't know, I was on that show. Just search Bootylicious Bride Lynique and you'll see me, girl. But yeah, I said it on there. I'm really proud of my figure. I like my figure. It's not perfect, but what is perfect in this life? So yeah, it's about just recognizing, girl, you can't compare yourself to somebody whose body and genetics are different to yours to begin with. So just look at your own body and think about your own goals and what your body can achieve and then go for that.
Number three.
Okay, this one, possibly the most important one, is focusing on God and trusting his plan. Now, whether you're religious or not, this one is important. I don't get it. It is. Like, I did that a lot more when I was younger. And I must admit, I've moved away from God and trusting and believing. Not for any particular reason, just because it happens. Life happens. And I'm trying to get closer again because I find for sure that when I don't have faith and trust in God and his purpose and plan for my life, I worry more. I try to control more. I don't have as much confidence in terms of what I can do and what my purpose is. So do that. If you can get closer to God and just try and remember your source, man. Remember what God's given you, because the same source he gave to you, he didn't give to no one else, you know. So that source right there is what's going to take you far. And remember that. It might not be your time now, but your time will come. It will come.
Number four.
And another one is focusing on yourself and being still. So focusing on you, focusing on how far you have come, what you've achieved. Look back. Look back at the person you were. All the things you may have overcome, all the things you may have done, the ways in which you've grown and developed, and acknowledge that. Like, honestly, be still. Like, when I say be still, I mean block out the noise. There's too much noise. It could be noise from the little ones. It can be noise from the traffic outside. It can just be noise of social media or your phone pinging off, because your phones don't stop pinging. Mine doesn't stop pinging. I mean, it's good. It means people love me and they care. But sometimes just know I need peace to think about things. So take that moment to sometimes just think and reflect on what it is you feel and how far you've come.
Number five.
And lastly, another one about focus is focusing on the blessings you have. And I think when we compare and look left and look right and our eyes are just focused on anything but ourselves, what we do is we miss our own blessings. We miss our own talents because we're so busy looking at what someone else is good at that we forget that we have our own talents and our own skills. So like I said, this is not a preachy list for me to say, do this, do that. It's just a list of things that I'm considering for myself because I recognize I'm moving away from doing these things, which is not healthy. So I'm coming back to it. I'm re-centering. There we go. I'm centering myself again to focus on these key things because I do think they'll help with better mental health and not being so easily distracted with comparing yourself to others, which, as we know, is the thief of joy. Who said that? Theodore Roosevelt. Comparison is the thief of joy. Remember that.
Ooh, that's a word.
So earlier in the year when I was receiving therapy from Black Minds Matter, wicked company, offering free therapy sessions to Black people who need it.
We love to see it.
And I needed it at the time, so yes. My therapist was amazing. Her name is Linda. And I won't go into too much detail because obviously it's my personal business and I don't want to leave myself open like that. Yeah, I'm open, but girl, there's a limit. Do you know what I mean? But what I will say is there was a common thread throughout the sessions with myself and Linda, which was essentially my feeling of not quite getting enough done. My feeling of inadequacy in certain areas, like I'm not doing it. I'm not getting there quick enough. I haven't achieved this. I haven't done that. So within that, if you or anyone you know has felt like this, please share this podcast with them. But if you felt like this, I want to share Linda's words with me because she is an incredible therapist, firstly. And secondly, the things she said really, really helped me. And to this day, I think of them. When I feel a certain way or my mind starts to go a certain direction, I remember what she said.
Tell us more, Mummy.
And this is it. So when I spoke about how I felt, she said, Lynn, is there a timeline to achieving? And I was like, no. She said, exactly. She said, you're doing too much of looking at what other people have. You need to rebalance and change your viewpoint. Focus on what is going well and what you do have. This helps to counter your thoughts, so you're offsetting the negative with some positive thoughts. She also said, let's not succumb to the pressures of the world. We place the expectations on ourselves. We see people with nice cars, lovely houses, etc., etc., and we have no idea what is really going on for that person. But yet we compare ourselves, yet we want, yet we long for. And then she said, remember the sense of achievement and what you have done in your life because you've done so much, and it will happen again. So focus on the positives and stop looking at other people because it steals your happiness.
What a queen.
Wise words, right? Very, very wise words. So for anyone feeling that way, please try and remember Linda's words as well, because they'll make you feel better. They'll make you remember what's important and to realign your thoughts and focus on what really matters, which is you and where you're at in your life. Everything she said was powerful and served as a reminder to focus on yourself. For me, that's a takeaway from that therapy session. Focus on you. On top of that, she reminded me, for many people, the most important thing in life, not all, but many, the most important thing in life is to find a lifelong partner and to have a family with that partner and raise that family and just be happy and create memories. She said, Lynn, you've got that. You've done that. What you have in your husband and your children and your family unit, many people long for. And many people spend their whole lives searching for it, and many don't ever find it. And when she said that, it hit me different. It did, because I'm like, I appreciate my family, and I know, I thank God for them all the time. I know, trust me, I know I am blessed. But when she said it like that, and she's like, there's no time limit on finding a job or finding a career or changing career. You can do it at pretty much any age. So there's no expiration, if you like. But when it comes to things like starting a family, raising kids, these are things that are slightly more out of your control. You can control the other aspects in terms of career. And I was like, true. She said, no, it's very true, Lynn. She went, it's out of your control. She goes, but you've got that. You've got it. And that is a blessing, a bigger blessing than you'll ever realize. And I was like, yeah, true. I felt a bit ungrateful at that point. I felt like I was getting told off. But no, she spoke pure truths, pure facts. So I can only say thank you for that. And if, like me, you ever struggle with, and you're like, oh gosh, my career is not where I want it to be, and I haven't got this and I haven't got that, just remember that if you have that part of your life sorted, it is possibly the hardest part of your life to get sorted. And if you've got it, you're blessed. You're very, very blessed.
Mum, I love you.
So on that note, I'm going to say, enjoy. Enjoy your family. Enjoy your friends. Enjoy your loved ones. Enjoy. Nothing's guaranteed, not even tomorrow. The only thing that is certain in life is death. I hate to hit you with these cliches, but I just need to remind you, the only thing guaranteed is death. Try not to compare. Try not to let yourself feel bigged up by the fact you're doing better than someone else, or broken down by the fact you haven't got what someone else your own age has got. Because you know what? We're all on our own individual journeys, and we all have our own unique gifts and qualities to offer to the world. And we can't compare to another person because we're made up differently. And our path is not their path. Our journey is most certainly not their journey. So focus on your journey. Be happy, be healthy, and be grateful. And on that note, thank you so much for listening. If you made it to the end, you were G. If you want to share the podcast, please do. If you'd like to leave a review, please, even more so, do. And if you would like to come back again, the podcast is bi-weekly, comes out every other Thursday. And yeah, check out the website, letmummytalk.com. And we're on socials as well. If you enjoyed it, please rate, subscribe, pass it on. If you didn't enjoy it, keep it to yourself, because no one needs your negative energy. All right, be blessed. Take care. I'll speak to you again very soon.
Remember, life is short. Enjoy it. Hope you have a lovely day. Hey, this is Callie. I want you to remember this song. This lit up mine. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine. This light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. So always remember, let your light shine.